from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios. This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show. Call Johnny now at 844-5600 and online at WNSR.com. And now, here's Johnny.
And welcome to hour number two, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Zach Williams. Coming up a little bit later this hour, around 5:35, formerly with the Nashville Banner, Doug Segrist, now in Birmingham. He is a co-host on the TV show The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340, as well as a contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser. We'll be talking SEC with Doug. But right now, our good buddy Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline. Sportsline.com is the site. And we brought this up a lot of times, Alan. With the NFL these days, we're talking about 12 months out of the year, part of the conversation.
Oh, yeah. The NFL, I mean, it really is. And it's not going anywhere. And it's only going to get even more. You know, now, and let's be honest, Johnny, you brought this up. You nailed this a while ago, and we're seeing it play out over and over. We see the trade rumors about Russell Wilson. The Titans, honestly, taught the NFL that you could trade for quarterbacks, and I'm not saying that Tannehill and Russell Wilson were on the same level at that trade time, but that quarterbacks, you could trade them, and you could be aggressive at that position as well. And ever since that trade was made, we've seen a flurry of quarterback-type moves. So one, you nailed that, and two, you're exactly right. Like, the offseason is almost as exciting as the season.
I'm still trying to wrap my arms around what the Rams had to give up as far as with their move with Detroit, especially when you take in consideration just how cheaply the Titans were able to secure the rights to Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, you know, and the crazy thing about it is this, is that anybody, whether you're a fan of the Titans or the Rams or the Lions, whoever, who would you rather have at quarterback right now, Ryan Tannehill or Jared Goff? Right, like it's just, I don't know.
I was never a big fan of Jared Goff, and I just, you know, I thought he was immature coming out of college. And yeah, he had the one, you know, the Rams did get to the Super Bowl. I'll give him credit for that. Also, he has some incredible weapons around him. But at the same time, remember, Vince Young got off to a great start as the Titans' quarterback, and look how that worked out.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So, I mean, you know, to that whole overall point, I mean, John Robinson really did pull it off, you know, tremendously. Not only did you not have to give up much, the Dolphins paid half of the salary that first year anyway. So, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, you know, I certainly like being aggressive if I was a GM. I'm not trying to mortgage, all, you know, my entire draft until 2024 to do it.
Well, the things that I have a problem with, like going back to even last year's draft, you know, two teams that kind of stood out for me. Green Bay, you know, you go back to that loss to Tampa Bay in the playoffs, you know, they lose by five. You know, who's to say, I mean, if you had one extra offensive weapon or one extra playmaker there instead of Jordan Love, who's not going to help you this year, and even with the Titans, if you had one extra player there against Baltimore other than Isaiah Wilson, you know, it's because I don't think anybody ever thought that Isaiah Wilson was going to help the Titans in 2020. And
yeah.
Jordan Love certainly was not going to help the Packers in 2020.
No. Jordan Love, we don't know when he ever will, you know, be able to help. He might not. It might be a Garoppolo in New England situation. But you know what? You bring up a great point on Isaiah Wilson, and I completely agree with you on that, because think about this. You're talking about a first-round pick, okay? One extra player, all right? One extra player, does that make this Titans team that much better to get past Baltimore, okay? Then you don't know what's going to happen. Is that one player good enough to get Derrick Henry even more in the MVP conversation because there's, say, one more great game, right? The payoff for the players of being in the playoffs, for the GM, for the head coach, like one player of that caliber can have, you know, kind of just a magnifying effect. So I completely agree with you. Now, the Rams have been good. Don't get me wrong. Like, they're going about it their own way, and there's more than one way to win in the NFL. But, man, I mean, when you go 2017 to 2023 without a first-round pick, you better be spot on with everything else that you do.
All right, help me here. Collusion is wrong, illegal, right? Whether it's coming from, and we usually hear about that from the owners, you know, colluding and hurting players, whether you're talking about Major League Baseball, NFL, whatever the case may be. This supposedly got leaked out earlier today. A source on a video conference call told ESPN that the NFL Players Association, I'll be interested to see how this works out. Like, the, you know, agents really care about helping other agents or helping the player. Yeah. Their only concern should be about helping their clients. But they want the agents to work together, basically to cheat illegally, to collude, especially in this upcoming free agency period.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, you just put a lot on the table there. You're right. I mean, obviously collusion is illegal. But you know what? Here's the thing. The gist of it, I understand, and the gist of it is this, is that if you look at the NFL owners against the NFL Players Union, well, of course, the NFL owners are going to win those conversations and negotiations every single time because, one, they do have the power and the money. But, two, you only have to convince 32 owners, right, to figure a situation out. They're generally all on the same side. With the players, you're talking about 4,000 players of all different, you know, calibers. There's a Tom Brady and there's an Isaiah Wilson, right? Those two are not equal. So I understand what the gist behind that. However, one, it's illegal, and two, the fact that you're saying it out loud is even worse. But it just goes to show how much power that the owners have over the union, and that they always have and probably always will have.
I mean, I go back to 2014 in December, the lowly New York Jets were playing the Tennessee Titans, and I think at that point they had a combined 5 wins in December, right? Very lousy teams, and the game was boring. And at one point, and I'm a lifelong Jets fan, so I should have been like sky high, but no. And I actually turned to her and said, do you realize that those two teams right there we're watching – that they're making the same kind of money as the two teams that will be playing for the Vince Lombardi Trophy for the Super Bowl title coming up in February. It kind of puts it in this perspective that how many of these players that we see, and because you only need one player of the 30, you know, with 32 teams out there, you only need one team to like that particular player. Look at how many overpaid players we get every year because you have to spend a certain amount of your salary cap, and you're trying to like convince fans to buy season tickets. Now, understanding COVID-19 era, it's a little different situation right now, but you're still trying to generate interest, and a lot of times that means some new faces, even if you're having to way overpay for them to be a part of your team.
Yep, no, you're exactly right, and you know, it goes to show, I mean, you know, not only in the NFL, but I mean, in almost any business, right? So if you are, you know, you make hamburgers and there's a competing hamburger place right beside you, you know, and they've got a good management system, they've got good employees, they've got good food, they're operating correctly, you know, they're doing well. And then the one beside it, you know, which has no management, they're seemingly all family that work together, they hate each other, the process is terrible. It's just pure craziness. So obviously, you know, for them to get and meet that standard, they're going to have to overpay to bring people into that madness. But on the other hand, you're right, too, that, you know, these NFL teams, when the league cuts that check, you know, for TV and royalties, et cetera, things like that, it's even, you know what I mean? So it's craziness. And it's just wild to see every year, you know, how much money that these NFL teams do rake in. I mean, you nailed this one, too. Shoot, I think you said it 2 or 3 years ago that – owning an NFL team essentially is having a winning Powerball ticket that is guaranteed to hit every single year.
You're printing money in the back of – I mean, I just go back to the fact that even last year with no fans – well, like limited fans, but even if you had no fans, you were still walking away with $100 million after everybody is paid off. I mean, that's the ridiculous part about this. They don't care. You know, look, they want you to be sitting on your couch, your family of four, and watching on the twos because then they can charge for more with these TV packages.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Like, that's also the crazy thing is that, don't get me wrong, like, you have to have some kind of a fan presence, but the dollars for watching on TV, they're a whole lot more than going to the stadium.
I mean, I go back to the 99 season when the Titans played the Indianapolis Colts in the playoffs in the second round, the divisional round. And the ownership of the Colts so mad that so many Titans fans were able to get tickets that they were literally going around section by section writing down all the seats, row numbers that they saw Titans fans in because they were going to be contacting the season ticket holders. Not very happy. In today's world, I mean, you think the Tennessee Titans ownership, they care if, I mean, yeah, they would love to have all Titans fans in there, but you think they're arguing the fact that now that Titans fans still are not coming back yet, that when even fans are allowed at full capacity, that half the stands is filled with the fans of the opposing team? They don't care. It's money.
It is money. You know, I mean, you're right. Like, you know, that's kind of what's wild with this entire COVID situation that, yeah, I mean, totally. Like, just whoever's going to buy this ticket, please do it. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it is funny that, you know, when it's operating at normal, healthy times, and you look around and, you know, some teams have zero problem, you know, selling out whatsoever. You go to a Steelers game, buddy, good luck. You might see six Ravens fans. It's all Steelers, right? But then you see the other stadiums, like you said, it's half full with the other team. And that is funny to me. Like, I would just love to be in the room when, you know, some executive is saying, I want you to physically go and write down these seats. Because we're going to contact these people.
I'm not making this. I actually asked them. I said, I'm just curious. So, you know, what are you doing? I work in sports administration, yeah. And this is when I was still working in sports. And they actually told me. They were like interns. And they were literally going with their nice little notepad there and putting that down. It's like, yeah, don't want to be a part of that conversation, especially after the Colts lost to the Titans in that playoff game as well. All right, so Deshaun Watson, he's just he got a chance to meet David Culley last Friday. There was this big meeting, and Deshaun Watson still wants to leave Houston.
Yep, he wants out. He wants nothing to do with Houston, and it doesn't look like he's going to change his stance whatsoever. And there's not going to be anything that they can do to change his stance. The difficult part is this, is what do you do if you're Houston? All right, you've got a new head coach. You just lost J.J. Watt. You're losing your star quarterback. The locker room is terrible. There's a reason why that there's a new head coach and a new front office, let's be completely honest with you. So even as much as you do not want to lose one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, you cannot have a cancerous locker room. And not that Deshaun Watson would be cancerous to people on purpose, but just having your best player and the face of your franchise, where everyone knows that he actively hates it there. You know, it just manifests that itself. It's a brutal place to be. And I'll say this, the longer that it goes, the longer it's going to be worse for the team. You could get good trade value now. You try to do it, you know, a couple weeks before the season, teams know, right? And you're just not going to get that return, and it's just going to get worse and worse for you. I'm really, really interested to see not only how they handle this situation, but when? Do they try to do something now as opposed to waiting and waiting and waiting? Knowing it's Houston, they'll wait literally until the worst possible time, but I'm interested to see that process.
Yeah, you know, it'd been interesting to see if Indianapolis had pulled off a thing where Houston, thinking they're dealing with, I don't know, say the, just pick a team, the Miami Dolphins. But then it turns out that they're actually dealing with the Indianapolis Colts because Houston, you know, directly would never have wanted to deal with the Indianapolis Colts inside the division. No way would they want to see Deshaun Watson coming back and beating them twice a year for the next 10 years. But, you know, we see three-team trades all the time in the NBA, for example. Who's to say somebody could have been not in the – I mean, somebody could still be in that. Because would you rather have Deshaun Watson if you're the Colts or Jared Goff?
Oh, gosh, Deshaun Watson, not even close.
All right, so I just think Deshaun Watson would be a natural with Indianapolis. And I know Goff is now with Detroit, but I just look at what Indianapolis, what they have, and, you know, and what a Deshaun Watson would look like with that team. But Deshaun Watson, to me, certainly has more value than even Matthew Stafford, for example, in my opinion.
Oh, I agree. I think Deshaun's a better quarterback. And two, look at the health and the age. But you're going to have a long time, presumably, with Deshaun Watson. I'm not saying that, you know, Stafford's on his last year or anything like that, but yeah, I mean, you just have a young quarterback who's just a stud and is bad as it got in Houston, he legitimately put up record numbers with no one around him. I mean, the guy is that good. He's worth it.
And it got bad quick because just last summer he signed the four-year deal for almost $160 million. It got bad quick. But then again, though, I've shared this story, you know, in talking with him after games, you know, going back to his rookie year to the last time I had a chance to talk with him in person, which was in the 2019 season, he just seemed like a different individual. And what I mean, it just in a short period of time, the league had certainly impacted him. He wasn't the, you know, welcome to the NFL, jovial kind of guy. I think the league had hardened him as far as inside, where now you got the walls around you.
Yep, definitely. You know, I think you're exactly right on that, on the league, you know, hardening him. And then two, you know, it doesn't take long, you know, for a situation to get bad. And, you know, what he saw in Houston with DeAndre Hopkins gone. I think that was the beginning.
The DeAndre Hopkins, where that caught him totally off guard. He had no idea that was going to happen. So you throw that into the mix. He was told that he was going to have input as far as GM, head coach. Well, and supposedly he did have input. They just didn't listen to him. So, wait, you want him? So here's the thing. If I say, okay, if you're asking for that, Alan, yeah, I'll let you have input. So you tell me your choices. I think about it and go, I just don't like that, and I move on. You know, look, that's on Deshaun Watson. You know, just because you have input doesn't mean that you actually pick your guy.
No. Look at Tom Brady in New England. Yeah, he had input.
I mean, you're not Michael Jordan just yet, Deshaun Watson. You haven't won back-to-back Super Bowls, haven't even been in a Super Bowl, so you're not quite there yet as far as having that kind of pull.
Yeah, you're right. And in the NFL, exactly what you're talking about to start the conversation. Players generally don't have that much input. But, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. And, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, like, that situation folded it. And then, literally, like, when it gets so bad that in the middle of a season, J.J. Watt is openly speaking of how frustrated that he is and then follows through with it and wants out. That's J.J. Watt. He never, ever did that stuff. Like, that goes to show you how awful that locker room is.
All right, you got the roulette table, but instead of the 36 numbers, you only got three. One of those include the Tennessee Titans. J.J. Watt, where does he land on?
Ooh, that's a great question. I'll say this. I think he lands in Cleveland. I think that he ends up with the Cleveland Browns. I think that is going to be the location that he goes. I think it makes absolute sense. Not that Tennessee wouldn't. Trust me. I think that he would love to be here. I think that the Browns just go for it, whereas the Titans are probably going to look and say, all right, we took a huge swing on Clowney, a huge swing on Vic Beasley, and I'm speaking if I were John Robinson. I don't know if I can take that risk again, and especially at $15 million, because if you do that and J.J. Watt goes out in week two and he's done, good luck, man. You just burned all your cap.
Well, you did clear up almost $4.5 million in cap space with releasing Adam Humphries, so you're at least thinking about some off-season moves if you're John Robinson, so we'll see how all this plays out. Hey, do me a favor. It's always fun having you on. What can fans expect when they go to sportsline.com?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, we're breaking down, obviously, college basketball. We're getting into conference tournament time, NCAA tournament time. We're going to be breaking all of that down. The NBA is rolling, the NHL. We've got MLB starting, too. So whatever sport that you're into, and we're talking about the NFL, obviously, day in and day out, go to sportsline.com, click around, check it out. I assure you, I think you're going to enjoy it.
Hey, we appreciate you, buddy. Have a great weekend. We'll talk soon.
You too, buddy. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That's Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline. Yeah, speaking of Major League Baseball, Atlanta Braves, not fooling either. April 1st, their season opener. And once again, we are the your national home for the Atlanta Braves, along with Vanderbilt Baseball and more. Speaking of you know, the NBA that Alan brought up, tonight 6:30 for the pregame tip, just after 7, the Grizzlies at home tonight, taking on the Los Angeles Clippers. Once again, 6:30 for pregame tip, just after 7. All the action right here on National Sports Radio. And speaking of basketball, you know, one of the things I love about betting on basketball is I'm always finding new player props or game props that I like. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine these props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout. It's called a same game parlay bet, and you can only find them on FanDuel. And right now, new and existing users can get up to $25 back each day if your parlay falls one leg short with same game parlay insurance. You heard that right, every day. And that's why people bet on FanDuel. Here's the thing, too, especially when you're talking about NBA with FanDuel Sportsbook, I like the fact that it's easy to use. It's easy to register, easy to deposit, and easy to find your bets. Also, I like the live betting. It's easy to place your bet fast during a game if you see a trend you like. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today to try a same game parlay and use promo code Franks at sign up. That's promo code Franks. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. The max refund is $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, you can call 800-889-9789.
Good afternoon. Heavy traffic continues now on 40 East out past the airport, Donaldson Pike, continuing out into Wilson County. Working that wreck at Minnickin Drive at Delta Avenue had traffic blocked a few minutes ago. Up in Madison, we saw that crash, 300 block of Maya Drive, still heavy to the south, 65 down into Brentwood, Franklin. Hey, Ripley's Aquarium in the Smokies will be hosting Sleep of the Sharks coming up March 28th. All the details at Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Hey Nashville, this is Crazy Charlie Sonia, and it's time to put 2020 in the rear view mirror as I tell you all about Bongo Java. Nashville's oldest and most celebrated coffee company now is also located in the Omni Nashville Hotel. Bongo Java's expert baristas take pride in their trade, serving up fresh, locally roasted coffee and fresh baked goods all day long. For me, there's no better way to start the day than with the Egg McBongo. It's perfect. A fried egg with cheddar jack cheese on an English muffin, that paired with a cup of coffee is the best way to start your day at Bongo Java in the Omni Nashville Hotel. You can kick back and listen to the spin of vinyl records while enjoying a board game or two with all of your best friends. Open at 7 days a week and brewing up till 2, Bongo Java adds to the great Omni Nashville Hotel experience. That's Bongo Java, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown.
Gunter Construction is on the air saluting the brave men and women of our U.S. military. This proud salute is brought to you by Gunter Construction, proudly serving Murfreesboro with quality and pride. No matter what your home or property needs, Gunter Construction has you covered. For all your construction needs, give them a call at 931-205-5222. That's 931-205-5222. Gunter Construction, they're on the air because they care.
You know, with most of the college football season over and done with, my buddy James Warren, who I went to BGA with and now owns Sir Speedy of Music City, he turned out to be right. My picks this year stunk.
So, George, I've learned if I want to quit losing money, I quit listening to the Gifts for the People.
Thank you.
There's no better way to say that. But if you do want a sure bet, come to Sir Speedy Music City for your print, your sign, all your mailing services. You'll always win.
And so while you're not a big fan of Gifts to the People, you think there are some sure bets out there. So give people some particulars.
Without a doubt, you can get us at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. Our phone is 615-832-9511 or print at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
And by the way, in spite of the lack of support, there will be Gifts to the People in the near future.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast for this afternoon. Sunny, temperatures near 60, 50-50 chance of showers overnight, mostly cloudy, lows around 40, and showers likely on Friday at a 60% chance. Temperatures mid-50s. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner.
Sports Radio WNSR.
listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Zach Williams, 615-844-5600, 844-5600. We mentioned the Grizzlies in action at home tonight, taking on the Los Angeles Clippers, 6:30 for the pregame tip just after 7. The Predators trying to make it three straight. How about that? They're on the – in fact, that'll be – if I'm not mistaken – Zach, is that the first time this year? Yeah, that'll be the first time this year they've been able to do that if they can accomplish it tonight in Detroit as they take on the Red Wings. Detroit, the only team below the Predators in the Central. But, yeah, the first opportunity this year, can we make it three in a row? They have two-game winning streaks other than what they're currently going through. They started the year, if you remember, against Columbus, winning the first two. And then they also knocked off Chicago at home back-to-back. So far this year, in the 18 games that they've played, they have not been able to put together three straight wins.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, this is also a Preds team that who cares if they put three together? I mean, honestly, now, if you're a Preds fan, are you not rooting for the rebuild to happen quicker, later?
Yeah, because otherwise you're like kind of delaying the process.
Yeah,
right?
It's the inevitable is going to happen. They're a bad team and they need to change. And it's going to. How do you rip a Band-Aid off? You don't rip it off slowly and pull each individual hair off your arm. You pull it all at once so you get the pain done quickly. You don't want to drag this process out, and that's what the Preds are right now.
Hey, are you having fun watching the Lakers struggle like they are? I mean, you know, when you get teams like that that have like two or three superstars, and you know, to me, every team should have one. That's it. You know, but when you get like Brooklyn Nets doing what they're doing, but now here's the Lakers with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and you look at the fact with only one part of that now being played. I mean, the Lakers now four straight losses. A team that is certainly struggling. But even with that said, there are still only a game behind the Clippers in the Pacific Division.
Yeah, I don't know if I exactly have fun. I'm not going to go on Twitter and start ranting about them because I know that's a sleeping giant. Because when everybody gets healthy and that team plays like they should.
Oh, they're going to be, yeah.
They're dominating.
That's inevitable.
Yeah, you know? So it's a little CYA. On that. I just cover my own butt so that way I don't have to hear about it later for when I made fun of them on Twitter or anything. So, no.
Well, that's like, honestly, when you go back and you see, like in Major League Baseball, you know, if the Yankees need an outfielder, what do they usually do? They usually get three and then whoever merges of those three, where other teams, especially in smaller markets, they go with one, and if it doesn't work out, well, so much for that season.
The bankroll doesn't go as deep.
Yeah, exactly. So but you know, it's just one of those things when I see what the Lakers have put together, and that's,
well, it's like you look at to that same point, Tom, did you see Tom Brady's it was like 4 days ago, I think he posted it, but he said, "I love talk radio," and it was a video that is a montage of everyone that was talking about how bad Tom Brady is at the beginning of the season. He's over. He's done. This was a terrible mistake. He should have never went to Tampa Bay. And then, of course, it ends with him winning the Super Bowl. I don't want to end up on those montage videos.
You know what the mistake is? Remember, it was the same folks that after the fourth game back in 2014, they were saying, he's done. It's over for him. He's, mm-hmm. he's washed up. And that was 7 years ago.
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah, people still do it every year. They're like, he's washed, his arm's not the same, or whatever, and he finds another way.
I would pump the brakes as far as that's concerned. Hey, by the way, abbreviated show tomorrow. It's the beginning of a four-game series for Vanderbilt. They have Georgia State coming to town. Single games on tomorrow's game is a 4:30 start, but single game tomorrow and Saturday with a doubleheader wrapping up the four-game series coming up on Sunday. But we will have a SEC preview show from baseball to college basketball and more prior to turning things over to the Vanderbilt broadcast. Speaking of the SEC, on the other side, our good buddy Doug Segrist, formerly with the Nashville Banner. Do you remember the Nashville Banner?
No. Are you kidding me? What was that, like 25, 26 years ago?
Did your parents like keep, I mean, it was like 23 years ago.
We subscribed for the Tennessean for like a few years, but after that.
Did they keep like a copy of it or anything around? It's like, no. What's this?
That didn't, nothing there.
Well, back in the day, Doug Segrist was part of that and the Birmingham News. He's now a co-host on the TV show The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340, as well as a contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser. He's coming up on the other side. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good evening. Still dragging along out through Rutherford County as we look at it live here on 24 eastbound here at Highway 96 Fortress. Just to get past 840. Traffic just terrible out here. They've had it down to one lane doing some work. They never finished it. Here comes all this rush hour traffic now on 24 eastbound. It's a mess trying to get through Rutherford County. 24 up towards Jolton. That's picked up. Hines Ferry at County Hospital Road. A wreck involving injuries just reported. Check out the Andre Chicken Sandwich now available at Prince's Hot Chicken. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
First of all, you've got to download that FanDuel Sportsbook app. Do that. This is for you folks who love betting basketball. What's cool about the FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine these props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout. It's called a same-game parlay bet, and you can only find them on FanDuel. Right now, new and existing users can get up to $25 back each day if your parlay falls one leg short with same-game parlay insurance. You're going to find it very easy to register, easy to deposit, and if you're into live betting, it's easy to place your bet fast during the game if you happen to see a trend that you like. So, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. Try a same-game parlay. Use the promo code BKING at sign up.
Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
You pledged your life to serve, to make our country stronger, safer, more free, more equal. You worked tirelessly, made sacrifices, missed first steps and birthdays, lost loved ones. At VA, we don't see the setbacks endured. We see lessons applied and passion driving you upward and forward. We don't see all the masks you wear, but we hope you can set some aside. We embrace your uniqueness and won't trivialize your past, your fears, or your hardships. We can't promise to heal all wounds or wash away all trauma, but we do see hope, a path forward, a future. We see all veterans. We see you. An opportunity to help you achieve a new mission, whatever that may be. Learn how treatment works and recovery is possible. Visit MakeTheConnection.net.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
What in the hell's an internet?
Nashville Sports Radio has been covering Music City for over 20 years. From your radio dial to the App Store, there's no reason you should be without Nashville Sports Radio. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nash Sports Radio. We would have a TikTok account, but we're old and we don't know what that is. From live games to live streaming, at Nash Sports Radio has you covered. Download the Nashville Sports app to your phone now, or the puppy gets it.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Listen live online to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Zach Williams. Oh, by the way, Zach, I have not been able to bring this up this week, but just in case you haven't noticed, for the second straight year, it looks like Florida State, it's now, I don't know if you've heard this or not, it's now a basketball school, with three straight losing seasons as far as football, but it looks like Florida State, with a two-game cushion in conference play in the ACC, looking to wrap up their second straight regular season title. Just throwing it out there. All right, right now a chance to talk some SEC and more. Good buddy Doug Segrist joining us out of Birmingham. He's a co-host on the TV show The Zone on ABC 3340, as well as a contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser. Doug, when I throw that out there, by the way, You know, in fact, you know, there was a spot there in time there, early 2000s, where I guess Alabama was more of a basketball school than a football school.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, really from the time that Ray Perkins left until, midway through the 90s, I mean, it was a basketball school. They were selling out every game. Wimp Sanderson was the biggest figure on campus. They went to, seven Sweet 16s in 10 years, won five SEC tournaments. I mean, they were just – they were dominant. And I'll tell you right now, and you saw this with Auburn the last 3 years, you know, there are more people talking about basketball now at Alabama than any time I've seen in probably since the Wimp era.
Well, they have a chance over the weekend. In fact, they had it last night, but they couldn't get it done on the road against Arkansas. But with the two-game cushion still in SEC play, Alabama still looks like they will have a regular season title, not unless they continue to struggle from three-point range. I mean, that's when I look at this team and I'm thinking about what they could potentially do, not necessarily the SEC tournament, but as far as the NCAA tournament is concerned, you know, a couple of things. When they get cold from their three-point shooting and they don't get to the free throw line. And I mean, like last night, perfect example with Arkansas, 40-plus attempts from the free throw line. Here's Alabama with only 8 for the entire game.
Yeah, 35 free throw differential is not going to win you many games. And the thing is, they usually get to the line. They usually are able to drive the basket. Right now, there have been a couple games recently where they've been in a funk. And you got to give Arkansas credit. They did a great job of denying the best three-point shooters. And Alabama usually responds by opening things up with ball movement. Actually, I thought the first half they had much better looks than Arkansas. They just weren't falling. It just got away from the second half. I mean, you're not going to win many games where your three best players are all out with five fouls. And you know, that's just, again, kind of a double whammy last night. The foul trouble just, it kept Herb Jones off the floor for much of the game. Jaden Shackelford barely played the first half. John Petty got in a funk and got two technicals, and none of it seemed real egregious. In fact, I think the first one, he was more frustrated at himself for missing a dunk because he was at a bad angle coming up from under the basket. You know, I think that's more concerning, though. Your senior leadership has to be able to handle situations like this better. We haven't seen a case like that this year where they really get frustrated. And last night, they did. And, you know, you're going to get calls that go against you in the NCAA tournament. You've got to handle it better.
Well, to me, it's okay to play with emotions. You just don't want to be emotional. And when I watched this game, and to me, at times there in that second half with John Petty, Jr., I mean, I literally could have easily seen him going after either one of the Arkansas players or even after one of the officials. I mean, that's how out of control mentally he was at one point in that game. And that has to be a concern.
It piled up. The first one, I think he was more mad himself. And then the frustration built. And listen, he wasn't the only one. There was a lot of frustration. There's some frustration on the Arkansas side, too. And you just can't – I mean, you've got to be the leader. And, you know, there was a case early in the season where they're 4-3, and, he was getting frustrated, and Nate Oates got through to him. So you hope that'll happen again.
If you had right now to pick three teams that you could ride all the way to the Sweet 16 and beyond from the SEC, which three teams would they be right now?
I mean, two are easy, Alabama and Arkansas. I think Arkansas is playing better than anybody right now, better than Alabama. The third, you know, I keep saying I think this because Tennessee's size, because the way they play defense, but at some point – in the NCAA tournament, you got to be able to score. So, now they're kind of getting on the line where they're, you know, you can't say they're in the tournament for sure. I mean, their RPI is dropping like a stone. So my third choice would be between Florida and LSU, and I trust Florida more. LSU is explosive as they are. you know, they'll take weeks off where they don't play any defense. And they've looked really good of late. Maybe they've turned the corner. But I trust this Florida team more.
You know, there's only one team inside the SEC that's undefeated against teams that are ranked, either the AP poll or the USA Today poll.
Missouri.
The coaches poll. Nope. You know who it is?
Who?
It is the Ole Miss Rebels. Ole Miss 3-0 against ranked teams from the AP, 2-0 against teams ranked in the coaches poll in the USA Today poll. And look, it's a team that right now is on the outside looking in, but they are coming on strong to the point where, who knows, maybe that we could be talking about seven teams from the SEC, or if Missouri doesn't do something and change the way they've been playing of late, although they've got a great record against, you know, top 25 teams. They're 4-1 this year. But Ole Miss is that charging team that is slowly getting there to the point where maybe it's going to be hard to deny them a spot.
Had they won the Mississippi State game over the weekend, I think they would be there. I think that was a devastating loss, even though Mississippi State is a better team than its record. The problem I have for Ole Miss going forward is they can win the next two games, Vanderbilt and Kentucky, and they may still drop in the metrics because of where those teams are right now. And that's where the Kentucky team, that's still a good eye test victory. But it's not going to move the needle. And that's my only frustration with Ole Miss. They won what, 5 of 6, but they waited so long. I don't know if it's salvageable at this point, but listen, that you're right. They are a dangerous team and they're turning it on at the most important time.
What's your biggest concern if you look at, say, for example, Alabama? To me, if they go cold at the three-point line, that's a team that all of a sudden, especially if you're talking about trying to get hot in March during March Madness, to me, that could certainly spell, you know, that's the part where I'm watching them, and I'm more convinced about a strong Arkansas team right now. In fact, the way Arkansas is playing right now, it kind of reminds me of Auburn when they made their run to the Final Four, you know, a couple years back. Arkansas is getting hot at the right time, and I kind of like the way this team, the Arkansas Razorbacks, are built. Now, they got to shoot free throws a lot better than they did, like, for example, last night.
Yeah.
That's a big concern. But other than that, I love the way that team plays together.
Yeah, and I've been waiting for it most of the season. I like how physical they are. I like their size. I like they can shoot the three. They're not very dependent on it, but they are dependent on pace. They're willing to go as fast as you want to go. They create a lot of disruption on defense. They create steals and get fast breaks. So I like this team. My concerns with Alabama are more or less the mindset because, you know, they've been a bubble team for eternity and February has been their fade. Now they're going to start hearing, you know, well, y'all are getting the tournament. That's not in doubt, but, you know, this is kind of the same old, same old. So they've got to answer that and they've got to get big. And what I mean by that is Herb Jones has to play like a big man, even though he's out at the point. He's got to be able to finish. I think last night was a big step forward for Jordan Bruner and Juwan Gary, both who missed about a month each of action. And so having them back gives you some a little more physical presence that they really lacked. And so I think having those two healthy and getting healthier, and if they can get Herb Jones on that same par, I think they'll be okay because then they can answer when they're not making threes.
I mean, here's the thing with Ohio State losing to Michigan over the weekend, with Illinois losing. I mean, Alabama with a win last night, and if they take care of business this weekend, they could have been number four. They could be looking at a number one seed, not the number one overall seed. I think that's going to be Gonzaga. But they could. That's what we're talking about, being in that one line instead of being number two or three.
And now they've dropped to number six overall, so you're still looking at the two seed. I think one could have happened. They would have had to win out. I think two is very realistic. And let's be honest, if you get a top three seed, your path is so much easier. It gets, you know, as good as a four seed is, you know, all of a sudden that second round you're playing a fifth seed. So
yeah, but you don't want to be the worst or next to worst of the two seeds. And right now, I think Alabama, with that loss, that's where they are. And that means you're facing either Gonzaga or Baylor.
Yeah, and Baylor, to me, is a lot like this Arkansas team. It's a matchup that could give them even more problems than just Baylor being so much better than everybody else. So, yeah, they need to win these next two games. And I think at that point they can go in the SEC tournament and just play and have fun.
Tennessee is the team that I'm having, and I've had problems with them for a few weeks now, because to me they're much better than this inconsistency that we have seen out of them. Good example, last night, Vanderbilt, about 30 minutes before tip, we find out two of their key players, including Scottie Pippen Jr., not going to play last night. And Tennessee had the 10-point lead at halftime, but then they allowed Vanderbilt to linger enough, close with them four. Yes, at the very end they pull away, and if you just see the score, you go, ah, they took care of business. It never should have been that close, and that's what's bothered me, is that this Tennessee team, we've been talking about them all year, this inconsistency, and oh, by the way, I don't think it's going to be easy for them at all going in to play Auburn. Auburn has nothing to play for in regards to postseason, because they put the self-ban on as far as the SEC tournament and the NCAA tournament. Not that it matters at this point, but, you know, Bruce Pearl and the would certainly love his Auburn Tigers to beat Tennessee once again.
Yeah, he would. He's going to make it a big deal. I'm just not sure it will make a difference at this point. Sharif Cooper has been injured. They really don't have a point guard. They're having trouble in the half court. They're having trouble defending. So, I mean, Tennessee is getting Auburn at just the perfect time. My problem with Tennessee, we talked about what happens when Alabama doesn't shoot the three. Well, there are weeks where Tennessee can't shoot from 5 feet in, and that inability to create a half court offense is worrisome. I kept thinking they would come out of this funk, or their defense would carry them, or the fact they were so physical, they would have a size advantage on some teams. And it's just not happening. And it, you know, you are what you are at this point. And I just don't think they have enough firepower to make a run. And I've been, you know, high on this Tennessee team long before the preseason, but even once SEC play started and they really weren't looking as crisp, I thought at some point the light would go on. I think there may be a power outage.
We'll see how that all plays out. Hey, before we let you go tomorrow, he's the son of the UT Martin head coach, but Ty Simpson, you know, he has this affection and love for the Tennessee Vols. I just think with the whole thing that played out with Jeremy Pruitt, Josh Heupel's there. We don't know about whether or not Tennessee is going to be on probation, but he's going to make it. He's a five-star quarterback out of Martin, Tennessee. Going to make his decision tomorrow afternoon around 2:00 Central Time. And it looks like, although Tennessee's in that conversation, it looks like it's either going to be Alabama or Clemson that's going to earn the right to get Ty Simpson a part of that 2022 class.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a big deal. I think it's a big get for Tennessee to be in the conversation at this point with everything that's gone on. And I think this is a sign that Josh Heupel will be able to get in homes, and you go from getting on lists, start getting these guys. So I think that's a big step forward. You know, but right now you're competing against the two most dominant teams in college football, and that's a hill to climb.
Absolutely. And look, I look at the Alabama situation, and, you know, with Mac Jones, you know, now going to be, after what we saw out of him, you know, he was a finalist for the Heisman. But to me, that quarterback position at Alabama still very much up for grabs. I mean, we think it's going to be Bryce Young, but, you know, there's other competition there. I mean, so to me, it's a winnable job for anybody with talent that can go in there and get it and get the trust of not only the coaches, but obviously the players too.
Well, and you also changed the coordinators, and Bryce Young was recruited to Alabama by Steve Sarkisian, and who loved him and made him the number two quarterback. But Paul Tyson, a lot of people think very highly of him.
And he seems to be doing very well, by the way, and he has obviously ties to the Coach Bryant family.
Yeah, he's his great-grandson, and was on a level in high school with both Bo Nix and Talia Tagovailoa. So you had three Elite 11 quarterbacks.